Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
You know, I feel like I haven't preached since last year, so you can only use that joke once a year, so I keep doing it. I know Pam just prayed, but can we just pray again before we get into the Word today? Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for what's already taken place here. And Lord, that we know that your presence is here with us. And Father, I thank you for just the glorious way that you were at work within our church family in 2018 and all that you did, Lord. And I know that there were times of pain and suffering for our families within this church. And yet, Lord, and just case after case, you have been bringing them through. You have been sustaining them, Lord. You haven't removed problems, so you've given them your power to come through them with you. Lord, I know some are still in those situations. And God, I pray that you would encourage them and continue to build them up and love on them and give them your strength to carry on. Father God, I pray this morning as this word comes, Lord, that you would forgive me my sins, cleanse me. Holy Spirit, I ask you to fill me up. And Jesus, please come and preach this message with me today for your glory. God, and I do pray, Lord, that we might delight ourselves in you. Lord, I pray this morning that you would encourage my family as we head into 2019. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So there is a side of a mountain somewhere in British Columbia. In fact, there's many sides of many mountains. And on the side of these mountains are these wild flowers. And they're quite pretty. In fact, beautiful might be a better word to describe them. And for years, they grow up each spring and last into the summer. In fact, they've been doing that for hundreds of years, and they've been there. And yet, no human eye has ever seen them. They grow, they die, they grow again, they die again. And the only one who sees them and comprehends their beauty is their Creator, our Lord. So I ask the question, is that enough? On the battlefield, a fellow soldier has been shot and wounded. So a soldier from a different platoon, who is a father, a loving husband, risks his life. He steps out with incredible heroism and saves the life of that man, and then three more lives he saves in the throngs of battle. And these men he saves have no idea who he is. No songs are written about him. He is not celebrated. But God sees it all. Is that enough? Overseas in a Muslim country, there's a missionary couple, now we call them international workers, who have been serving God for over 30 years. And they have been faithful. Both have a close relationship and strong relationship with their Savior. And they have done everything God has wanted them to. And yet, over the course of all those years, only three people have come to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They have been faithful to God. They live a life above reproach. Yet only God knows the extent of their faithfulness. Is that enough? A young lady in a youth group much like ours has a close relationship with her Heavenly Father. She is faithful in her prayer life. She loves the Word of God. And her relationship that she has with Jesus could be described as dynamic. But she is quiet and she is soft-spoken, someone who might not stand out in a crowd. But in God's eyes, she shines bright like a star. Is that enough? Is that enough? You know, we live in this world where bigger is better, where hype is more important than substance, where image is more important than character. I guess that's why this question I'm asking at the beginning of this new year is so big. Is it enough to be faithful to God if God is the only one who knows the extent of your faithfulness? If you never get a spotlight on this side of eternity, is it enough? Is it enough to know that the eyes of the Lord reign throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him? Is it enough? Rick Warren, who I think most people have heard of. He is the author of The Purpose-Driven Life. He's a pastor of a church of over 22,000. And he said something once on a tape years ago. You know how long ago it was, the fact that it was on cassette tape. but what he said has stuck with me. He said that he had all these ideas about growing and building a healthy church way back when he planted his church. And they only had 4 families in the church. But no one came banging on his door then. But now that he's grown so large, he's become the big expert. And a spotlight has been placed on him. Many people pay attention to him. But what if that church had never grown that big and he faithfully served the Lord? Would it have been enough in God's eyes? In God's eyes. You see, when the question is posed to God, I believe it is a very easy answer. Yes, yes it is. It's when it's posed to us that it becomes very difficult. My friends, I'm not trying to start the new year on a bummer or anything, but I got to tell you, this life is not fair. Sometimes, you know, good people get overlooked. Gifted people are not celebrated. Heroes don't always have songs written about them and may not even get a tweet on Twitter or a like on Facebook. The good and right things you do, the heroic acts that you live out, may well be overlooked by this world and the people around you. But God never overlooks. God never overlooks. David wrote in Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. God sees us. He knows us. But is that enough? I mean, when we get overlooked where we are. Now, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, getting overlooked. But it has to me. When I was in Bible college, my first year, and a youth conference was coming. And that's when 700 students would come to Canadian Bible College for a weekend. And it was wonderful mayhem. As they came and they crammed into all the dorms and they came to check out the college and grow in their faith. And so before youth conference came, they were looking for some of us Bible college students to lead seminars. And back then, in my first year of Bible school, I was painfully shy when I was outside of my own church and my own family. And college was tough because I felt a lot of the time like I just didn't quite fit in, especially my first year that I was there. But I mustered up my courage, and I decided that I would do a seminar. I worked at it, and I got to tell you, I think it was pretty good. I mean, for my younger self, it was pretty good. And so I went to this meeting where they were inviting everyone who wanted to lead a seminar to come, and there were a bunch of us there. And as I sat in that room with everyone else, I looked around, and I recognized every other person in that room. Because, for lack of a better word, they were all quite popular. Some were very gifted. And we all had an opportunity to stand up and present our ideas. A few had dynamic presentations. Others just kind of got up and said, yeah, my seminar is going to be on this, and sat down. My turn came, and my heart was pounding. And I stood up and said, well, my seminar is going to be called The Friendship Factor. You know, and I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I know it's kind of cheesy now, but I thought it was good back then. And, you know, I started telling them a little bit. You know, I'm going to talk about how bad company corrupts good character. I mentioned things like, hey, what do you do if you have a friendship? And the friend becomes like a Klingon, not a Star Trek Klingon, but someone who just kind of won't let you go and you can't get away from them. And I kind of began to explain what I was going to do. And I had some biblical truth that would be applied to each situation. And I sat down feeling it had gone really well. Well, they were looking for 12 seminars. And there were 13 of us presenting. You might figure out where this is going. My services were not required. And I got to tell you, okay, I was so ticked off because I knew I could do a better job than some of those other guys. And I mean, they weren't even prepared to present. And they wouldn't be prepared to do their seminar to the night before. I just knew it. And they didn't care as much as I did about doing this. And I knew I had been a victim of favoritism, of the popularity game, would it have been enough to know that God thought my seminar was good? That he saw the work I had put into it. That I was being faithful to my call to teach youth at that time. And the answer I would have given would have been, no way. Okay, no way. See, it's not the spiritual answer. It's just not. But it was sure how I felt. And I believe that is the answer to the question, is it enough, if we answered honestly. Now, if I worded the question, should only God knowing be enough? The answer everyone would give is yes. Yes. But when we ask, is it enough? It gets really hard to answer. And I guess I've been wrestling with this in different ways for years. And maybe, just maybe, I can save some of you the frustration and the angst that I have felt on the road to get to where I am today with this question. Philippians 4, 11 to 13. Paul writes this. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. You know, many of us know that last verse, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. But what comes before it is all around contentment. Being content is a wonderful thing and a great gift. Our world around us does everything it can to make us feel discontented. You know, that we want, so we would buy more, that we would want the latest and the greatest. And this discontentment has even spilled into our lives and into the church. And see, and I think we need to return to being satisfied with being faithful to God and what he calls us to, no matter if there are no other people who see it. And we let the delight of that faithfulness fill us up. We find joy in faithfulness to God, and we live in it. Now, hear me. There is great delight and joy to be found in our relationship with the Lord. And contentment comes with trust in God and his way for us. My friends, this world is not fair. It's just not. It's not fair. You know, I spent two and a half years looking for a job after I got out of Bible college. I spent 2.5 years doing that because I did not know the right people. You know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. I never actually thought that was true until I graduated and couldn't get a job for 2.5 years. And Bonnie and I, we had this wonderful volunteer position. And God eventually led us to spend 13 amazing years in Kamloops, British Columbia, before guiding us here, back home to Ontario, to Brampton. Were there times of discontentment in those early years, especially that 2.5 years when I couldn't get a job? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You bet there was. But I think our focus should be on progress, not perfection. trusting God and resting in Him in those times of discontentment. And I want to add in here this morning, going to Him when those thoughts of discontentment fall on us. Going to God and telling Him exactly why we're feeling discontented. Tell Him what's going on inside of us, what we're feeling, and bring all those feelings into the light of God, the light of Jesus, through prayer. Now, let me tell you, from experience, when you bring all those things that maybe you're discontented about, or you're ticked off about, or upset about, to God in prayer, they begin to look different. They begin to look different in God's light. And there are times we don't want to bring those things to God. We don't want to bring them to Him because we want to hang on to that stuff and just continue to be upset over it, whatever it is. And you know what that's like? That's like taking a small rock, a pebble, taking your shoe off and putting it in your shoe. And then try to walk through your day. You know, just, I'm going to go do my life. And wherever you go, the thing is just going to irritate you. It's just going to be, oh, man, that stupid rock's in there. But that's what it's like when we hang on to that discontentment. When we hang on to those feelings that are bothering us about how we're getting chipped or ripped off. And putting a rock in our shoes and walking around, that's crazy. It's crazy. Because that little rock is going to bother you all day long. Romans 14, 7 to 13. For none of us live to himself alone, and none of us die to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you look down on your brother or sister? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling blocks or obstacle in your brother's or sister's way. I'm not looking for a show of hands. Anyone ever pass judgment on someone else? Pass judgment on someone in your own discontentment. Or maybe because you got overlooked. When I was out of ministry for that 2.5 years, it was hard because I saw guys that I had gone to school with getting jobs. And I remember thinking, how in the world did so-and-so get a job and I can't? I mean, I know I can do a much better job than so-and-so. And I passed judgment. I passed judgment on them. I put that little stone in my shoe and thought I could live the irritation because it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair that I didn't have a job. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Oh, I want a job. See, and I wonder if you've ever done that. Pass judgment in your discontented state. It's kind of silly, not to mention wrong, because only God is qualified to do that, to pass judgment. See, my job, our job, is not to pass judgment, but to be faithful to what God has called us to, whether big or small. Our love for the Lord should compel us to be faithful. Alexander McLaren once wrote, "Love is wiser than it knows, and the purpose which Christ can make its offering serve are higher and more sacred than the offerer's intent." That is a great thought. to know that Jesus can take our demonstrations of love that are shown in our faithfulness to what he's given us to do and give them greater meaning, give them greater purpose. God doing more than we might think or imagine through our faithfulness. And so in those times, as God's eyes rest on us, our lives and our hearts are strengthened. Now, there is another temptation that comes when God makes a request of us or calls us to faithfulness. And that's it's the focus of my last scripture here. John 21:13, and we're going to read on from there. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When he had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time. "Do you love me?" he said. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Now, I'm sure some of you know the story here. Jesus has been risen from the dead. He is yet to ascend into heaven. And he's having breakfast with Peter and some of the other disciples. And he's talking to Peter about the depth of Peter's love for him. Now, and this is actually really restorative for Peter. Remember, Peter denied Jesus three times? This is Jesus reinstating Peter. But then he says to Peter, at the end of this little conversation, he says to Peter, "Follow me." And Peter's response is classic. This is why I love Peter so much. He's my favorite disciple because he's so real and he's so much like us. Then he said to him, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. It's John. This was the one who leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who's going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him? What about him?" And Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Don't we love to play the compare game? Don't we love that game? You see, God calls me. I'm like, "Lord, you're calling me to what? You're calling me this? Lord, what about Rich Worthington? What about him? Lord, are you going to call him to that? How about Terry O'Leary? How about Terry? Or how about Josh Shabula? What, are you going to call him, Lord, to that?" And the Lord says, "Scott, I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. You follow me. You follow me." See, and I believe with all my heart, God calls every one of us. He speaks to every one of us, and he calls us to faithfulness. And what my call is and your call is can be worlds apart. But God has called us to faithfulness. God speaks. He speaks. And here we are. We are on the brink of a new year. 2019 is ahead of us. And might this be the year that all of us might determine in our hearts to take delight and joy and our relationship with God and being faithful to what he has called us to. Not to look around at others and compare or judge or get upset about recognition others are receiving and we're not, but that we would live in the glorious knowledge that our Heavenly Father sees us. He sees us. And Jesus is with us. He knows our love. He knows our faithfulness to him. And we leave what others may think about us to God. And might we take Paul's words to Timothy to heart, where he says, godliness with contentment is great, great gain. Let's take those stones, those pebbles out of our shoes and live our lives in the freedom of that faithfulness and that delight of serving the Lord and being faithful to him, not comparing ourselves with others. But the flip side, blessing them. When we see them succeeding, when we see them doing something for God that's just so amazing, we go and we bless them, we encourage them, we build them up in their faithfulness. Remembering that your faithfulness, when you're faithful to God's call, he can do far greater things with that faithfulness than you might ever think or imagine. And when discontentment or self-pity is trying to get a foothold in your life, because it is bound to happen, bring all those feelings, all those thoughts, into the light of Jesus through prayer. And doing that, it is a wonderful way to see the good in those moments that you are living in right now. Can I just tell you, you know, though that 2.5 years that I was a volunteer youth pastor, you know, putting in like 30 hours a week, I loved it. I just loved what I got to do. And it was up in Newmarket, a little church called Valley View. Those 2.5 years were so awesome. Even though I whined and I complained from time to time about the discontentment of not having a full-time job, those 2.5 years, I grew so much. I learned so much. I tell you, when you're a volunteer, they can't fire you, you know? And I got to practice all the things I thought would work in youth ministry. And it was so good. And some of those kids I had in that group are now pastors today. And it fills me with joy. And it was a volunteer position for 2.5 years that I loved. Because I was, in that time, though I felt discontented from time to time, I was surrounded by the goodness of God. Okay, can I tell you this morning? Every one of you is surrounded by the goodness of God. We just don't look for it very often. But if we can get our eyes off that others and stop comparing and stop being discontented, say, God, show me your goodness in this moment. As I remain faithful to you, let me see it. We will begin to notice little things here and there. Oh my goodness, in that 2.5 years, I got myself a wife. How good is that? I mean, there are just, yeah, I know. God is at work all around us, all the time. And yes, sometimes that call, when he calls us to be faithful, it is going to be hard. Whew, it's going to be work. It is going to take time on your knees to put yourself in God's strength and his power. But my friends, listen to me. In those times, you can find the delight in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Do you know that's actually a command? God says, hey, come and find joy in me. You can do it. I'll make it happen. Delight yourself in the Lord. Don't worry about being overlooked. Just be faithful to God. Watch what he does and look for his good all around you. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Everything we do for our Lord lasts. God sees what we do. He sees our faithfulness, even when others do not. Is that enough? If no one else ever knew how faithful you are to God, is that enough? If only the Creator of all things sees, if only Jesus, the Lord Jesus sees, is that enough? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Faithfulness. Our Heavenly Father will see the things done in secret. And my friends, there's a line that runs through Scripture again and again and again that God rewards. In fact, he wants us to know, you be faithful to me, I will reward you. I will. My friends, here we are. 2019 is ahead of us. 2018, it was an amazing, incredible, glorious year. May 2019 be even greater for God's glory as we, as a family, remain faithful to him, as you, as a son and daughter of the Most High God, remain faithful to him and what he calls you to, knowing he sees you. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all you did last year. And God, I pray that as we move into 2019, Lord, that you will do even greater things. Lord, I pray that we will see countless people come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Father, I pray in 2019 we will see healings take place in this church, both physically and mentally, Lord, like we've never seen before. God, that you will just, you will please yourself in blessing us as we are faithful to you. Oh God, come. Come with power and move in each of our lives and within this family, Lord. I thank you for Bramley Alliance. I thank you for this family of believers. God, we want to be faithful to what you call us to. Lord, I pray this year for my friends, my family, that we will find the greater delight in you than ever before, that we will not be so easily pleased by this world, but Lord, we will seek and desire the greater joy and the greater delight that is to be found with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.